Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. We have Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. Joining me on this gloomy, gray, wet Monday in Toronto, shortly before the last Monday in Toronto before 2021, is calling host Josh Hart. Josh, how are you doing?
All right. You know, as much as the Raptors have tried to bring down everyone's spirit, still pretty nice to not have to work this week and spend every day eating, you know, dessert and watching movies. Feels like Kawhi after the championship.
Yep. Only having alcohol and desserts, man. Now he's yeah, poor Kawhi, man. Kawhi, man, get well soon.
He probably can't even eat the desserts with his jaw.
No, he's probably just having alcohol. No desserts for more Kawhi right now. As for the Clippers, 77-27 at halftime is one of the most hilarious score lines. Luckily, no one was watching because who cares about the Clippers? On a Sunday afternoon, well, I'm sure people are watching football instead or just doing whatever else. Like, were you watching Clippers Mavs?
No, I was on a Zoom call with my partner's family. My brother sent me a text message with the eyes emoji and the score. It's like, wait a second, what's going on? I like Paul George. You know, those guys celebrated on the 26th, then that means they got absolutely demolished by it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, Paul George said, I take responsibility, but also, you know, it was right after Christmas and I wasn't ready. And I was like, yo, what?
The Mavs also played on Christmas. Like, both teams stayed in LA the next day on the 26th.
Just say, yeah, you know what, well, we suck tonight and we got to be better. Like, I don't understand Paul. Like, he always has to just throw in an extra thing. But people were asking for a slander pod. I understood the request. And in normal circumstances, it would. But without a single win on the Raptors' side, we had to keep the karma good, as good as possible until the Raptors, you know, get one win. Raptors are 0-2. It's a depressing time. And this podcast will cover a lot of people's worries about the show. So we've asked for Twitter questions. We've received many. As always, really appreciate everyone sending in questions. But won't have time to cover everything. The bigger topics, I think I've grouped them all together. So let's start with just Raptors problems, all right? Let's start with this first one. From Giannis Slander Page, Primaki, who is one of the...
Giannis Slander is hitting pretty hard at the beginning of the season.
I mean, listen, I don't understand what it is about Giannis, but this man will lose to the Knicks once a year. It's just super weird, but this is what happens with Giannis. But anyway, this is not about Giannis. This is the question is, what is your opinion on Spicy P? Do you think he's playing well? Josh, I'll throw that question to you first. Spicy P has 26-6 in the game one in a loss. And then game two, he has a great first half, like legitimately sensational, at 12-12-5. But then he ends the game with about 16-15-8, which is good objectively, I guess. But what are your thoughts on
Spicy P? He faded in the second half for sure. You know, he's playing well. I think the feeling lots of Raptors fans are maybe getting is one of the great things about DeMar DeRozan is that he would come out of every season like a house on fire. Like, he would put up 4 games in a row, some number. He would always have some statistic that compared him to Kobe Bryant, and he'd carry the Raptors while that early season defense worked itself out. They found some rotations that worked, identified players further down the bench that could be contributors. And Pascal hasn't had that kind of production that has kind of single-handedly righted the ship. And that was something that you always could count on DeMar to go out and do. And Kyle Lowry's played fine. Fred's been fine, but we haven't had that one guy who's gone out and completely dominated. I think the problem for the Raptors right now is their defense just isn't right. And Pascal has not carried the sort of superhuman offensive burden to correct that. That's what I see, at least. And yeah, like, it's hard to ask a guy to go out and score 35 points a game for the first 2 weeks of the season. He's looked like Pascal. He hasn't taken some sort of big leap already, which I didn't see possible anyways, but he's played fine. What do you think, Will?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's been spectacular, but I think he's played. I think fine is the right way to describe him. I mean, the nice thing is the playmaking. I don't think he ever had a stretch last season where he had 14 assists over a two-game span. He matched his career high with 8 assists against the Spurs. When I went back and watched the highlights of those assists, it wasn't like spectacular passing in terms of like breaking down a defense and then throwing some sort of crazy pass to find someone wide open or anything like that. But he made the right passes. He made pretty good reads. And, you know, I don't even think the Raptors shot the three ball well in either of the two games. It wasn't like they approached 40%. But the fact that he collected that many assists is a good sign, because I think what's clear is that defenses are going to really collapse on Pascal this year. That's, you know, it's just what it is. They're taking away the pain. Yeah. And, you know, if that's going to happen, then he's going to have to find other people. And he's done that so far. The shooting has been, you know, okay. It hasn't been as wet as it was in preseason, but, you know, whatever. I think the turnovers are a little high at the moment. I think they're working through some general offensive transitions in terms of you got a new coach coming in to that's sort of, you know, taking over the offense a little bit. Not saying that Nick doesn't have any control, but there's a new offensive coordinator. And I think there's a general struggle with the team in terms of not even necessarily they're bad. It's just they get into slumps. But otherwise, I think Pascal's has been okay. I mean, I wish for him to get into the paint more, but I think defenses have generally done a really good job of taking him away from the paint, which is a concern because you wanted to get to the paint, but I don't know, man. It kind of is what it is. You know, if they're sending two guys at him, it's going to be pretty hard for him to get into the paint. So I don't know. I would give it a solid like B. I'll give it a solid B for Pascal so far.
That seems appropriate.
Yeah. More Pascal questions. This one from G Rex. Do you still think that Pascal can be a number one option? As great as his development is, I believe he hit a wall. He's offensively limited and inconsistent at times with offense. Therefore, I don't think he'd become that type of player. I mean, look, I think, okay, a couple of things. One, like offensive number one option, you know, there's levels. There really are levels to it, right? I think in terms of the very, very elite, like he's your number one option on a championship team. There's like five of those guys, maybe six. Right, like it's like Kawhi, LeBron, Steph, KD. Like Giannis isn't in that group. AD. I don't know, man. It's just AD alone.
AD's in that group.
I mean, I don't know if AD alone wins you a championship, or not even wins you a championship, but gives you an offense
maybe
enough to win a championship.
Like an offense, okay, fair.
Like the Pelicans had Jrue Holiday, they had DeMarcus Cousins, they had Rondo. That team still didn't get past the second round with AD. James Harden, I want to say he's on that list, but I also know he's not. Like, I just know he's going to screw up at a very crucial point. Yeah. You know? But, I mean, I think talent-wise, absolutely. There's that extra element with Harden where he will disappear in a moment, and it'll frustrate you a lot. I mean, I don't even know. I don't know if Luka's on that list yet. I think he's on his way. And then Jokic.
For sure is on his way.
Yeah, like there's just not that many guys. So Pascal's definitely not in that group. I don't even know if he's in the next group in terms of, you know, guys who can be like the go-to number one option all the time in a playoff series. I think that's something that he's still yet to show. But he is the number one option on this team. So. Man, I feel bad. I that sounds like I'm dissing Pascal, but I think that's realistic at the moment until he shows us something else. What do you think?
Yeah, I the anxiety around like Pascal's offensive ability has always sort of been funny to me. He's like a great player. He's a great sportsman. I'm not really stressing too much after two losses that haven't felt great. And I think, yeah, like, is Pascal the number one option on an offense that is championship quality? Who knows? But on that, on this sort of mythical Raptors contender, it would be an elite defense that carries that team anyway. So I don't know. He's fine. Like, Pascal's been fine. He's not the part of the roster that should be making people aggy with like the slow start. It's not on Pascal.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that point. Like, the slow part, he's been their best player the first two games. The Raptors have not won, but he has been their best player the first two games.
And I think he's been a good enough player to, like, if you put Pascal Siakam on, I don't know, what's a team that's playing kind of okay, but isn't, like, if you put Pascal on the Hornets, the Hornets are 2-0, or, like, you know what I mean? It's just been a couple bad breaks. Like, the Raptors, the Spurs loss was pretty bad. The Pelicans loss was kind of weird, given that you saw Bledsoe and Lonzo Ball go, what, like 2 of 13 the day later. Like, that shooting discrepancy was kind of what cost the Raptors that game. It's hard to get too wrapped up in it. Spurs loss was bad, but I feel like every time the Raptors play the Spurs, the outcome is always comes down to the wire.
That's true.
So all things considered, Pascal's looked fine. The Raptors have had two bad breaks. I don't think tonight's going to go their way either, but they're playing who I really believe in the 76ers this year. But
I wouldn't go there.
Yeah, so even if they go 0-3, I'm not going to be. It's going to take a lot more losses for this to be a Pascal Siakam problem. I think the problem right now are, like, OG and Norm have looked pretty bad, and that's the issue.
Yeah, that's where they've lost the games is OG and Norm. I mean,
okay, yeah. Here we go. Yeah. Everybody wants to. Yeah, how many questions do you have about
no one's even asked that. I think everyone's realistic about they're not getting anything from him right now.
But, like, the Norm thing is clearly, you know, beginning of the season, like, he's not felt it out. He missed a couple practices because he's in the COVID protocol. You know, when you have, like, he's at this point in his career kind of a vet, or at least a vet in this organization. He has another week or two to figure it out, but it's bad. Yeah, it's been not good. And it's been not good from OG.
I was losing my mind when Norm was guarding DeMar.
DeMar, like, this guy, the logo?
This guy was guarding DeMar at the logo, man. This guy was guarding DeMar DeRozan at the logo. And again, I just can't get over it, man. It's not even a scouting report thing. I know Norm has been going up against DeMar for like 4 years in practice. Like, there's no way that he didn't know how to guard DeMar.
No, yeah.
It's unbelievable. I don't know. But Norm has gone off.
He's forcing it right now.
Norm has never gone off to a season in a great start. I don't think, not even one season. The 17-18 season, he lost it early on. He had some injuries, but he lost that starting position to OG. 18-19, I don't think he was really in a good groove ever in that whole year. Last season he was off to a really slow start, and then he really took off and was awesome. And then this year, yeah, he's off to a slow start. I think, yeah, before that, I don't know if he was ever even considered part of the
You know, maybe for Norm Powell, he doesn't start to play well until his local advertising sponsorship money starts to come in. And then he feels like the real him. So he needs to, like, I don't know, what kind of food what's like the regional delicacy of Tampa Bay? Blooming onions. He needs to, like, get a blooming onion sponsorship.
No, we need to get an Osmos in Tampa Bay stat. And
a Dunedin Cosmos? That'd be kind of hard.
Yikes. Oh. What a weird year so far. Okay, next question from Dino. Can you elaborate on what we need to see from the Raptors rebounding? I see that we are easily outmuscled, and I just don't think they're on the same page. I kind of agree with you. I mean, I think, first off, the Raptors are going to have to do a better job just rebounding as a group. I think they're kind of undersized, so they're going to really need their guards to contribute. Fred and Kyle have proven to be guys who can rebound. Those are guys who will fight for loose balls. They're not really like those kind of soft guards that don't really involve themselves with defense. they will do that. So I think, you know, what we saw against the Spurs where the two of them, Fred, I believe, had 3 rebounds and Kyle had 0. When was the last time Kyle had 0 rebounds, man? Like, they got to do better on that front in terms of just gang rebounding as a group. I think realistically, I don't know how much more you can expect from Baines rebounding-wise. He's mostly going to screen and box people out. He's never been a guy who's, like, collecting a ton of rebounds by himself. So you're going to need people to come in and actually collect that rebound. That's going to – I mean, I thought Pascal in the Spurs game did a really good job. I mean, he was super energetic on the glass.
Yeah.
And that was great. But I would love to see OG give that same effort because – realistically, Pascal needs to save a lot of energy for offense. And the fact that he is giving so much defensively means that over a 43-minute performance like he had against the Spurs, you're going to tire out if you're going to play both ends of the floor really hard. But for OG, I mean, his job is just defense and hitting occasional shots. So please, like, I don't know. Maybe it's unrealistic to expect OG to get 10 rebounds. But, like, I also don't see why he couldn't, especially because – they're going to need him to do more of that than they need him offensively this year, at least. So maybe I'm just saying the guards got to do better. They can't combine for 3 rebounds. That's unacceptable. But I also think OG should, I mean, he was at 7 rebounds a game last year. Why, you know, can he not bump that up to like 9? I don't think it's outside of his ability.
Isn't he at 7 rebounds a game now? Or what is he at now?
Oh, he's at 7 rebounds now. Sorry. He was at 5.3 last year. So,
okay,
you know, even more OG. I mean, he's playing 7 more minutes a game at the moment.
Yeah. So. No, I do think the OG thing is an issue. Like, he's got to give the Raptors more. He got the raise. He has the sort of full-time job. It's go time. And I believe in OG as much as anybody else. Like, I mean – Raptors fans love OG, so
well, I don't know, man. Some people are already written him off as soon as any. Okay, this is what happens with Raptors players. As soon as they get paid after a rookie scale deal, right? As soon as they get paid, people start turning on a guy. This happens literally with every player: JV, Terrence Ross, Norm, OG, Pascal, Fred, like every single guy. That's what happens. DeMar. I guess people are already out on Andrea by the time he already got the extension, but definitely with Andrea. And I'm not saying that it's just like a fan perception thing. Like, I think these guys show some frustrations, but it's always like great when it's found money. And you're like, oh, this is great. I got a 5 in my pocket. It's not so great when all you have is a 5 in your pocket and you're trying to buy something. You're like, I'm broke.
All I got is,
So. Yeah, I mean, that's what happened with OG. I mean, OG can play better for sure, and I believe him, and I believe in the potential. But that's the thing. I think also is just when you do get paid, people expect it consistently. And But they're still the same player. That's the thing. It's not like you just paid them, and then magically their production is scaled accordingly. No, it's not that.
But in the case of OG, he's now going to get the most reliable minutes – role opportunity of his career. It's a little bit like it's not quite the same as Fred. Like last year Fred had the job but didn't have the salary. This year he has the job and the salary and he's looked fine. I don't think anyone who had doubts about paying Fred has reasons to complain given the number and given his production thus far. It's like OG, it's that what is OG going to look like with the sort of full-time forward job at the salary he's getting, and then what's the production that we expect from him? Because it's now something Raptors fans are going to live with for the next 4 years.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad contract. After 2 games, I definitely don't think it's a bad contract. I think it was a good contract, actually. Next one from Dino again. Could you see Boucher starting over Baines in the future? If not, why is our interior defense? Why has it collapsed so much? So, one, I think there is just a talent drop-off between Baines and Mark. Mark is exceptional defensively. Baines is very good. And that little gap is important. And that's actually part of the most of the reason actually why I thought the Raptors defense will slip a little bit this year. I didn't foresee it slipping this much, but I also think it's early season stuff. I think, you know, they're talking about communication issues, rebounding issues. A lot of the stuff is sort of things that they can clean up, get on the same page about. The reason I don't see Boucher starting over Baines is Boucher is kind of like a perfect bench guy.
Boucher,
because you can bring a guy off the bench to play matchups, whereas you can't do that with a starter. And Boucher is still a matchup kind of guy. Boucher has played great. Baines, honestly, has this is as good as Baines is going to do. Like, it's not like Baines is going to, like, jump, like, two more levels after this. Well, what Baines has given you game one, game two is already pretty much what Baines is you're going to expect from him. So, yeah, defensively, they'll get better as a group. I think, you know, that's something that Nick and the coaching staff will need to work on. I mean, honestly, I'm looking at in terms of just, like, the IQ of the group has dropped a little bit. So maybe keep it a little simpler at the start of the season. Play more drop back coverage, you know, force the guard to go into the paint, take them away from the three-point line, give up the mid-range, stay relatively at home in the corners, and just, like, kind of funnel things into the paint. And I think that's where Baines can look a little bit better. But, of course, I also understand that the Raptors had tremendous success over the last two seasons playing their aggressive style of defense, and they're going to want to keep playing it. But that just does take – there is a learning curve with that. It's a really hard scheme of defense to play. And it requires everyone to be on the same page. So if you do have slip-ups, then all of a sudden you're allowed.
Marcus Aldridge has a putback that wins the game. And, like, ultimately, Boucher gave up two offensive rebounds that – look, the Raptors, it shouldn't have been that close. The Spurs are not a very good team this year. But Chris Boucher did not have his head on straight at the end of the game on – I forget the days of the week. It's that time of year. But to say that he – should grow in a role that I think there are real concerns about his ability to fulfill defense, like defensively and like at the awareness level are realistic. And look, I know that you have the mandate from corporate to not slander Chris Boucher this year.
That's not true. I think they loved it, to be honest.
I'm teasing you, but Boucher has some issues, and those issues were relevant at the end of the game on Saturday. Today's Monday, and the idea that he should expand his role beyond guys like Baines right now is unrealistic. Baines looks totally fine, and Boucher is a very good backup center who can have game changing impact on the right night. But I don't think you can trust him to, you know, jump a guy like Aaron Baines in the lineup. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. I think Baines has been okay. I do like Boucher's energy off the bench. I think especially, like, if you see the kind of bench guys that the Raptors have already played, whether it was, like, Jackson Hayes with the Pelicans or Jakob Poeltl with the Spurs, generally people like to bring, like, energy bigs off the bench. And Boucher really thrives in those matchups because Boucher has, like, Boucher is a very, very good energy big in terms of how much energy he brings. Also, I love him playing with Norm because he can clean up all of Norm's missed layups. I consider Norm to have only missed two shots on Boxing Day. The three misses off the rim were Kobe assists to Chris Boucher. So I don't mind those misses. Okay, next question. Comes from an anonymous Bosk 15. Okay. Do you think Nick Nurse's mentality that rookies have to earn minutes might actually be counterproductive for legit talent like Flynn? And does the Heat system benefit those young players more because they give them the time to improve and grow throughout the year? What are your thoughts? The Heat, they already have Precious Achiuwa playing in a rotation. I think that's probably where this is coming from. Also, the fact that they had, you know, Tyler Hero was phenomenal throughout the playoffs.
Like, the, I don't know, like, the Flynn thing, to me at least, is the Raptor, there are guys on the roster who are going to play before him. They're not playing very well. You need to figure that out so you can either decide to move them and bring in what you do need or get those guys right. I'm not sure that there's some, like, yeah, Nick Nurse will make his rookies earn their minutes, but I'm not sure there's really an issue here. I'm not sure that Flynn would go out and be this very dominant force if he were playing a ton of minutes. Like, I don't know. Fred VanVleet looked great as a rookie, but when he played sustained minutes with the Raptors before he went out, back down to the 9-5 and came back up the second time, he had struggled. Like, it's your first season in the NBA isn't easy. Yeah, Flynn looked good in the preseason, but to say he's going to realistically go out and score 18 a game for this team is not, it's not likely true. And if he was really busting ass in practices, Nick Nurse would make an adjustment. I believe in Nick Nurse. I think what he's doing is right. He knows these guys better than the rest of us. And the roster issue is a justification alone to give guys like Norm the opportunity to play it out, because Norm Powell has a very tradable contract. And as much as I don't want to see him go for sort of reasons, I believe around like developing talent in this Raptor system being important over, for the long term, you got to do that before you could let a guy like Malachi play out. Yeah. Do you have a different answer?
I think it's not necessarily Nick's issue. It's the front office's issue. They have too many guards. I've said this from like the pretty much like the last few podcasts. If you just look it up, I asked Nick about it specifically. I was like, you got all these guards. You like playing all of them. What's going to happen? What are you going to do? And he said, their answer is, I'm not going to play all of them. He told us straight up. He's like, you know, and I was like, okay. I mean, and I specifically said, maybe this is a front office question. And if we, you know, get to talk to one of the Raptors front office execs in the coming weeks and months, maybe I'll ask them as well. But yeah, I think it's just they're unbalanced in terms of how many guards they have. So that's going to limit them. And also two of their best players are Fred and Kyle, and they both are small guards. So if you're going to introduce a third guard into that mix, it's going to be a little bit difficult. Having said that, I do actually think Flynn will crack the rotation. I just think that he's going to prove to be better than some of these other guys in terms of his two-way production, in terms of the ability he has as a playmaker. I don't really see a lot of playmakers off the bench. Like Norman and Matt Thomas are finishers. They're not play creators. Matt can pass a little bit. Norm, you know, Norm is fine. Yeah. He's just Norm. But like those guys are clearly finishers. And if you introduce one more playmaker off the bench, I think that would help. I think the bench unit could probably use that. So I actually do think he'll crack it eventually, but at the moment, I think he's going to roll with the guys that he trusts. Nick has seen Matt. He's seen Norm in the system for a while. He's seen Boucher in the system. So and those are the three guys who are the most experienced. So I'm not surprised he's going with those guys at the moment. I think it'll be a flexible thing. I don't think Nick is married to this like 8-man rotation. And honestly, man, I mean, you know, as much as we don't like seeing Norm struggle like this, like Norm has also provided, all right, let's be real. Norm was quite good last year. You don't just give up on him after two games. You know,
exactly.
Yeah. Although, you know, people are close, myself included. It's honestly, when Norm's bad, it's just like, bro, what are you doing out there? But, you know,
it's flashes of bad Raptors two guards previous. Like,
yeah.
When Norm's bad, it's like you have these T-Ross, Mopee, DeMar DeRozan, like bad tapes in your mouth.
Yeah.
And it makes you want to pull your hair out.
I'm just not used to boneheaded plays, man. I just, you know, it's fine to be average talent wise, which I think Norm is actually above average talent wise.
Yeah.
But it's just like, stop making boneheaded plays. Like I have such a low tolerance for that, I think now. And Norm really does come up with a lot of those. The next question from Danilo: on offense, our team heavily relies on production from Kyle, Fred, and Pascal. Is there another player that you can see being a dependable producer? The answer for me is no.
No.
It depends on, I mean, Norm was Norm was dependable last season. And Serge was dependable last season. So last year you had five guys. But offensively dependable, I think you're just looking at Kyle, Fred, and Pascal.
Yeah. It's okay, I guess. Yeah. It's not like,
honestly, Matt Thomas is getting close to that group for me. Not even in talent, just like the fact that I know he can come in a game and do a job. Whereas other guys, I don't.
And Kyle is going to make one of the bigs reliable. Like Kyle, you know what I mean? Like Kyle can make Kyle can turn one reliable offense producer into two reliable offensive producers when he's, you know, setting other guys up. So let's give Kyle some time. He'll figure it out.
I mean, Kyle's averaging 10 assists per game, man. I don't know if Kyle can depend on that. Yeah.
No, but we'll identify who's the guy that Kyle's going to be able to consistently feed and make look like a, you know.
True.
Like, yeah.
Kyle's only had one rebound the whole season. That's really weird, man. especially for a guy as scrappy as Kyle. But
that is weird.
That is a little strange. All right, next question. Yeah, I mean, look, realistically, those are your three guys. The rest of them are going to be TBDs for each game. And, you know, that's what it is. Next question for Freddie Rivas. Fred and Kyle are both incredible, but the backcourt being outsized seems to be a bigger problem than it used to be. Is bringing one of them off the bench a way to break up the size slash is this a wildly unrealistic idea? People always want to break up the two point guard lineups. I don't think that's the issue. I really don't think that's the issue. I think other guys struggling has been the issue. Don't think Fred didn't play great in game one. He was below his averages, but was quite good against the Spurs. He won that game for us in the preseason. And yeah, he was just like lights out, right? So I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is they got to get OG and Norm playing better, man.
Which will happen. I trust both of those guys to figure it out. Like, all of this has to be put in the context of these guys are playing on a reduced turnaround after a pretty deep season last year in the middle of a global pandemic while relocating their lives. Like, there's a lot of reasons why teams throughout the NBA are going to come out of the gate slowly.
Especially, also, man, it's been a weird year. Like, did you see any of the games on Sunday? Like, let me just read some of the scores that happened on Sunday. So we already talked about the fact that the Clippers lost by 50 in the first half. All right.
The game losing by 50.
They ended the losing by 51. Right. The Hornets beat the Nets. Okay. And the Hornets were out like 16 against the Nets. The Nets made a furious comeback. The Hornets held on. All right. The Cavaliers blew out the Sixers by 24 points. The Knicks beat the Milwaukee Bucks by 20 points. The Bucks are now 1-2. The Pacers are 3-0. Nate Bjorkgren doing a hell of a job there. Devonta Sabonis with the game-winning drive and one.
Also, beat the Celtics. The Celtics have any end-of-game play besides Tatum fadeaway?
Like, no, all Tatum wants to do is do a 1-2 hop step into a step back for three. That's all he wants. It's very predictable. He's quite good at it, though. You know what I mean?
It looks cool. It's the kind of shot that gets you on SportsCenter, but come on. Like,
yeah.
Not. And Tristan Thompson was terrible down the stretch.
I mean, look, you know, there's been some weird scores, is all I'm trying to say. And yeah, that's what happens when you're only two games into the year. So I'm not making excuses. I don't think the Raptors have played well enough to sort of be given the benefit of the doubt. But, like, you know, realistically, two games is two games. Also, it's weird. It feels like this feels more like extended preseason than the regular season. I don't know what it is. I just see a lot of teams working stuff out. Next question from ZSolt99. Do you think Pascal getting tired in the fourth quarter is a legit explanation for why he seemingly disappears in the fourth?
Yeah, 43 minutes is 43 minutes. Like,
I mean, exactly. At 43 minutes, when you also play, like, he was the best defender on the team as well against the Spurs. Yeah. And he was grabbing all the rebounds. Like, yo, here's the thing. I think, honestly, Fred said it best. It really depends on what your lens is for Pascal. Maybe before every game, ask yourself, what do I reasonably expect from Pascal? Just do this as an exercise. Before you turn on Sportsnet or TSN, ask yourself, what do I think Pascal's going to do today? You know, let's say it's like 28 and 5 or something like that. Okay. And then you expect him to play great defensively. And then you go into the game and you come out of the game and you just compare that, right? To expect Pascal to do everything, like, yo, Pascal's never been that kind of guy, man. Why would you expect that if he's never done that? Like, he's not going to be the kind of guy who just does absolutely everything. And that's not what all max contract players do, man. Very, very few max contract players do that. Like, we don't have Giannis. You know? We have Pascal. Like, you just be realistic about what you're getting from Pascal. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to rail against this question. I just think that people are expected a lot, and including Nick Nurse, man. 43 minutes in game two is too many.
That's crazy. That's real Dwayne Casey shit.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, though, they don't have another forward. They don't have another power forward, and OG's other power forward, he's small, and he's usually guarding a big wing player, so he's not actually even being a power forward usually, because he's mostly guarding a wing player. So, you know, it's a roster issue. It really is a roster issue. They don't have a backup. Like, I would honestly, as much as I, you know, had made a lot of jokes at Rondé's expense, I would not hate Rondé back on this roster. He's available. I just no size, man. Look at the bench. Like, yeah, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this, but, you know.
Rondé back.
Maybe come back. Norm won't be around to bully you much longer. And then this one from Emmanuel. Any concerns about in-game health protocols of fans in Tampa? JJ Redick mentioned it in his podcast. Are you concerned? The fact that there's like, I don't know, 5,000 fans in the stands?
No, am I concerned for the health and safety of the people attending the Raptors? Yeah, I think it's like a kind of a dumb idea.
It's a cash grab. I think honestly, the fact that Florida is a state that has proven to be very lax about its regulations overall, but especially with COVID, factored into the Raptors wanting to play there. Besides the weather and all this stuff, I think they were probably looking like we can make some money. Which, by the way, actually, let me just look up how much Raptors tickets are, because they can't be expensive.
They're like $20.
Raptors tickets, Amalie Arena, Florida. How much would it cost to go to the Raptors game? This is a great question. All right, Raptors Celtics. All right, that's a premium game. Let's see the prices for these tickets on Ticketmaster. Oh, $84, really?
$84 US?
$84 US? I mean, that's how much it costs to go and watch the game in the Raptors. In
Toronto, Lower Bowl?
Lower Bowl. I don't know if they're open. Oh, they are open. But let me see Lower Bowl. 511? Are you sure this is a ticket? Maybe this is a secondary market because I don't understand the pricing here. I saw that's it was crazy. Way lower.
Let me check. Yeah, I remember seeing like $20 tickets. But yeah, like Ron DeSantis is a jerk. Like, what are we expecting? I do think it's weird that the Raptors have fans in the arena. I hope nobody gets sick. I hope nobody on the sort of Raptors organization gets sick. I hope that random Floridians that I don't know. I hope that, you know, Canadians aren't going to their sort of vacation properties in that region, going to games and bringing potentially the virus back here. Hope everybody stays safe and healthy and we're able to enjoy basketball with little interruptions despite the, you know, morally dubious nature of playing games at all in the middle of a global pandemic that continues to kill people.
I will also say that, though, this is not a problem for the Raptors necessarily. It's like a problem of governance in general. That's how we got to this problem in the first place, and we need to sort of improve on that front. It's a societal problem, and that's where you need government to actually step in. I know people are against government for various reasons. What the part of the purpose of governance is to take care of something huge like a country in a pandemic, for example. The states have not done that. But as for the Raptors, I don't think it actually impacts the health of the Raptors people organization or the players itself. Like, fans are far enough back that they're not like, and there's no interactions or anything. Although I did see Brandon Ingram throw his headband into the crowd. No more of that stuff. No more of that stuff. Stop doing that, okay? I feel like that's definitely against the protocols.
That is like a good force of habit thing that you would... I could understand. Like, I feel like... I don't know. LeBron James has to take off his shoes and his game-worn jersey and try to hand it to a kid and some, like, team star like, LeBron, like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, oh, yeah, sorry, I've just done this, you know.
Yeah. No. That's got to go. But I think the real concern is for the actual health of the fans coming into the stands. Right? Hopefully everyone's wearing masks, but not sure how that's enforced. They're not getting
tested. I definitely saw a guy with the you know, below the nose.
I don't understand this, man. Put it over your nose. Like, okay. But I mean, in terms of there's no testing coming in, as far as I know. You have to fill out a questionnaire. Maybe they do a temperature scan. That's kind of the extent of it. And the people are proper. They're seated so that they're far enough apart. But at the same time, people might move around. You never know. I don't know how it's enforced. So that's where the concerns are a little bit for me. But again, this is a societal issue. It's it's, I mean, it's not like the Raptors are helpless. They could do something about it too, but at the same time, that's what it is. I mean, honestly, it's happening in soccer too. Like, there's like fans, like, you know, obviously I watch a lot of Liverpool and stuff like that. There's fans, but at least in most soccer arenas, they're outside.
Yep.
So, you know, that's a little bit better, but this is just what it is, man. I mean, again, governments are failing us. It's not the Raptors. The Raptors' job is not to be the government. Next question. These are the next section. I'm calling these transactional moves because there's always talk of changing the roster. This first question from REP. Do you think the front office regrets making all that cap room for 2021?
No, you have to do it. It's the right thing to do. They didn't really sacrifice anything. I can't think of there being a...
I mean, they did lose Serge. They lost Serge / Mark. They, you know, I don't know if Mark was ever coming back.
Serge. But then... Does Surge plus the core that remained minus Len make a good team?
I mean, it's better. It makes the team better.
It's better, but is it like, I don't know. To me, you look at the top of the Eastern Conference, as you'd project it, you know, Milwaukee, Boston, Nets, Heat, Sixers. Like, yeah, I don't think I don't see the Raptors breaking through that. And the best plan to break through that is by bringing in a superstar next summer. And yeah, the prospects of doing that look different than they did 6 weeks ago, but that's okay. It is what it is.
I think the Surge move is related to Giannis. And it's always obviously easier to look back in hindsight and say, oh, yeah, Giannis signed the extension. There was no point in doing all that. I mean, yeah, for sure. I think that's a loss. Like, we can admit that that's a loss. In terms of anything else they've done since then, I mean, they've extended OG. That really only made about a $4.5 million difference in their cap room because his cap hold was only $4.5 less than the contract he signed for. So that's... fine, marginal kind of stuff. That's like a biannual exception, right? You can carve that out by, like, I don't know, moving Stanley or something like that. That kind of scale of move. Yeah, I mean, I think they gambled and they lost. Was it a worthwhile gamble? I think so. Yeah, I do. It sucks in retrospect, for sure. It's important to note the Raptors did offer Serge more money this year than the Clippers are paying him this year. But I think from Serge's perspective, he definitely took a discount to win, and you know, that's, you know, it is what it is. Now he's down 50 at halftime. It's it doesn't always work out, but and in terms of like the 2021 cap space, I mean, I still think that's the most realistic avenue to improve the team. Honestly, you're looking at, if you look at the free agents, yes, the top free agents are gone, but still some of the guys out there, like, I still don't fully hate. I think, for example, there's bigs on the market. Like, what would you think about, like, a Lauri Markkanen, for example? Like, honestly, he would be.
I love Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, he'd be pretty good for the team, right? And, like, he's restricted. And, you know, the Raptors could, we'll definitely have enough money to get someone like that. Or John Collins, for example. Jared Allen would be a nice addition to this team. I think you're obviously...
Old Kyle Lowry and Jared Allen would be kind of tight, but Kyle Lowry is a free agent as well, and I don't know if Kyle's coming back.
That's a whole different issue. That's a
real issue.
And honestly, I don't know if that necessarily is a Raptors choice. That's, I think, more on Kyle, but... honestly, I don't even necessarily hate the restricted free agent market that much. Duncan Robinson is a restricted free agent, you know?
No way.
you don't want Duncan?
I don't want Duncan in Toronto. I don't even really hate him, but I don't want to cheer for that guy.
All right, fair enough.
You want him in Toronto?
Listen, if the Raptors are going to shoot 45 threes a game, I want Duncan shooting at least 10 of those.
I don't know what about that. It just really, I don't know. Just really grinds my gears.
I'm just saying though, there's, you know, I think the cap room is going to be useful. I think they can bring in a nice piece with that money. It's not going to be a star. I just kind of doubt it at that point. But I mean, in terms of the strategy is what it was. Plan B is a lot worse than plan A, or at least in terms of potential. But that's usually what it is, man.
I think plan A getting on us was great. Plan B is like you have a very good young core with the flexibility to bring in the tip of the spear or a few more complementary pieces. And maybe you're not a title contender, but you're a conference contender. Being a conference contender is pretty good. Like, you know, there are worse things to be than the perennial three seed. I don't think the right. Maybe with the right pieces, the Raptors can be a three seed in the East. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, they could still be the three seed this year. The
Raptors won the title 2 years ago, and like, I'm not that aggy. I like the team will be competent so long as Bobby and Masai are running it, and that's kind of good enough for me.
I mean, the Warriors won the title like 3 years ago now, and they're now relying on Damian Lee to hit buzzer beaters to beat the Bulls.
But that it exposes how much people really hated the Warriors because everybody's really enjoying. I feel bad for Steph. He's in his prime and it's not going to go that well.
Yeah, I feel bad for him, man. Kelly Oubre is actually great because he's taking the worst shots I've ever seen. And they also have Andrew Wiggins on top of that. So I feel bad for the Warriors. But I still believe in Steph. You know, if Steph is, you know, Steph is a generational talent. I still think he can make that group better. They probably should just run the Damian Lillard playbook for him and just have him run pick and roll all the time. All this, like, passing the ball, then trying to get off the ball, then trying to cut and screen. Like, bro, as soon as Steph gets off the ball, the other team is mugging that guy. like, don't ever let him get off the ball, all right? If teams come to him and trap him half court, which they should, then whatever. Then you got to do what you got to do. But do not willingly just give up the ball so that, like, Omari Spellman or whatever, or actually, I don't know if he's not on the team, Eric Pascal or whatever can just have the ball. Like, no, don't do that, okay? Just keep the ball in Steph's hands. Steve Kerr, please, for the sake of my fantasy team. Next question from In Masai, I trust. I like our young core of Fred, Pascal, and OG. Would Oladipo be a good piece to add in terms of fit / need? Also, what price would be your limit? I think realistically, if Oladipo continues what he's doing so far, which has been quite good, Oladipo's averaging 22 points on the season on 65% shooting, 70% from three, shooting 8 free throws a game. The Pacers are 3-0. If that's what's happening, then yeah, he's getting the max. And honestly, in this market, he's probably getting the max regardless. But in terms of would he be a good ad, I'm still skeptical. I definitely want to see how this season goes for him. I think his health is, you know, a big question mark. But at the same time, he's clearly a talented player, and the Raptors could clearly use a two guard who can create and score. So on that front, I don't think it's bad. What do you think?
Yeah, like I like Victor Oladipo. I think he's really good. Do I want him to get the max?
Yeah, that's where I'm at too.
Not really.
I'm totally cool with Victor as a player coming to the Raptors, just not on the max. Because I don't fully trust him, man.
Like we have Norman Powell at home, and yeah, like Oladipo's upside is way higher than Norm's, but I do think if you map out their production over the next 4 years, I think they're more similar players than most people want to admit, and don't know why you would pay up to have a guy who will be in and out of the lineup on and off production wise, a worse personality than Norm, or like more difficult to manage personality. And I think Victor Oladipo has justifiable gripes with the organization, but like Norm has never said peep about his role, his playing time. He's just good, like shows up at work, does sometimes a good job, sometimes a bad job. Doesn't make sense to bring an Oladipo guy who will, you know, get asked to do things that he's not going to be comfortable with always, and has made it known that he's willing to cry about it. I don't know. I don't really love the option, but he is definitely super talented.
He is definitely super talented. He will be 29 next year. Don't know if you want to give a 4-year max in this situation. I really want to see how the season plays out. That's what I'll say. I really want to see how the season plays out. But he's off to a great start, man. The Pacers are playing really well. Shout out Joe Wolfson. Shout out Nate Bjorkgren. Yeah, seriously.
He's been great.
Next one from Ahima. Should the Raptors try to trade for Harden? So there's variations of this. There's also from Funk and Paranoia. Why are you opposed to trading for James Harden? And did you have similar reservations about trading for Kawhi? Let's start with the Harden thing and then go back to the Kawhi thing, because I was definitely firmly pro Kawhi. But should the Raptors trade for Harden?
Should they?
Every week until James Harden is done, it gets traded somewhere.
Yes, they should. Well, it just
depends. Every team should trade for Harden.
Yeah, he's that level of player, of course.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does it make sense? Like, does it make sense to give Pascal and an asset for James Harden?
Oh, it's not an asset, man. It's going to be like another 5 picks on top of that. So you are now depleting your team entirely of picks.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be multiple picks alongside Pascal, but if that's what it takes, no. But if it's like, you know, Pascal and a first would be ideal. I don't know. I don't think that the Raptors have the most compelling package for James Harden that it will be available. I don't think that the Raptors have the greatest need for a player like James Harden to achieve the goals that the organization has right now. I don't think that James Harden would ever sign another deal in Toronto.
I don't know if you want James at 33 years old signing a 4 or 5 year max at like 40 plus.
Yeah. Yeah. So all of those reasons, like, I'm not sure it's just the Raptors market. It wouldn't work. And it's too bad because, yeah, James Harden is really good at basketball.
We can definitely agree on that.
Do you feel differently? Like, it's just...
Yo, I'm just saying, okay, look, you make this trade, you gut your team, you are not winning the championship still. And you might say, oh, James just put up 44. I don't care. You're not winning the championship, right? You're just not. You're not better than the Nets. You're not better than the Bucks. You might be better than the Bucks, to be honest. But a lot of things have to go right for you to be better than the Bucks. You know, you're not better than the Heat. You're not even better than the Celtics. You know what I mean? And if you look at what – okay, so let's say you realistically, the trade will need to involve Pascal and will need to involve picks. You'd be lucky if you held on to OG because, quite honestly, OG probably has to go in that deal too. If that's the case, who are you playing in the front court, man? Who are you playing in the front court? And you might say, oh, it doesn't matter. James could take all the shots. Okay, cool. James taking all the shots, you're not winning shit, all right? You don't have any front court players. You don't have a secondary score in the offense. You know what would be great with James Harden? Pascal Siakam. Pascal would be fantastic with James Harden. You wouldn't have that, though. You would just have a half a team. You would have James Harden in Tampa Bay bringing COVID to the rest of the team, all right? And then what, next year he plays in Toronto and then he goes in the fridge. I'm not saying that you don't make any move when you that doesn't get you to a championship, but I just don't see how that moves you closer to the championship. Would it make this team better? I mean James Harden is a better player than Pascal, right? And with all the other picks, I don't know if you necessarily get a James Harden level talent, but at the same time, I don't really see that as like, here it is, this is the team, and we're going to win a championship this year. Let alone on the other issues. So that's just where I'm at with it. Like, again, you just have no front court players. Like, who is your – okay, let's say you trade OG and Pascal, right? You just trade them for Harden, or you're like, well, great, Harden's great. He's fantastic. All right, you go into the Celtics series. Who's guarding Jason Tatum? Who's guarding Jaylen Brown even? Right, you go into a Nets series. Who's guarding KD? Who's guarding Kyrie? You have Fred. Who's guarding KD? You know what I mean? Giannis. Who's guarding Giannis? You're really gonna throw James Harden guarding against Giannis with Aaron Baines at the rim? Like, bro, it doesn't make sense to me, man. It just doesn't make sense for me.
Yeah, it's too bad because it's like, yeah, he's definitely an amazing player, but there's just no justification for it. It doesn't help this team win the championship, and I guess this is like a good way to enter into the difference between the potential Harden trade and the trade for Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. Is Kawhi slotted into a team that needed a guy like him, mm-hmm. and you didn't look, the Raptors got back Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, and $5 million for Poeltl, a backup big, and DeMar. Like, it's very different trade. It's a very, very different trade very than different would trade. Be available for James Harden.
First off, if it all it cost was DeMar in a first round and Jakob Poeltl and the 29th pick to get James Harden plus another piece that would actually play in your rotation, 100% you do that trade. That's not the price for James Harden right now. So that's not comparable.
Yep.
Second, the Raptors at that situation in 2018 were at the end of the road. We had just tried with this current group of Kyle, DeMar, you know, Casey, JV, and they had tried. They added pieces. They had tried. They tried. They tried. And it didn't work. So they had to do something, right? Also, low-key, I don't think that Masai want to extend DeMar, but whatever. They had tried, right? And you know, it wasn't working. So they went out and traded for Kawhi. And the fact that the Kawhi trade required so few pieces to actually go out made the Raptors a more complete team at the end of it. They still had actual pieces. You could not take Pascal off the championship roster and win a championship. You can't take Serge off the championship roster and win a championship. You can't take Mark off the championship roster. You know, obviously you can't take Kyle or Fred off the championship roster. You know, those are all vital pieces, but the Raptors still had a complete team when they traded back for Kawhi. And of course, it was a gamble. Absolutely. It might have been a bigger gamble to trade for Kawhi at that point than it is to trade for Harden now.
Really, especially Kawhi won't report rumors. And-
yeah.
We already know James Harden won't report.
I mean, listen. that's a different situation. And I was completely for it because also at the time, the Raptors had given that group 5 years to try to do something.
Yeah.
They couldn't get it done. They made good progress. They couldn't get it done. But they had to do something. So I was totally cool with it. Like, this is a newer group who have won a championship together. At least some of those guys have contributed to a championship. I'm willing to give them a little bit more time. And also, they don't have the assets. Because, like, look, even with the Kawhi trade, they weren't complete. They still needed to trade for Marc Gasol. In order to trade for Mark, you needed DeLon, you needed JV, and I guess CJ Miles, right? But, like, you still needed those pieces. Like, the Raptors don't have those pieces, man. And also, who would be the bench? Like, you'd just be running a shitty version of the Rockets out there, and the Rockets didn't even do anything. Like, I know people – I swear to God, the Rockets get more credit for losing the conference finals than the Warriors do for winning that championship. But, like – you know, I'm just not for it. I'm not for it. I don't see this as the opportunity. And as much as, yes, it would make sense on the paper to trade for James Harden, I don't know if it makes sense for the team as a whole. But I mean, look, if you're for trading for James Harden, I don't blame you. He's great. He's a fantastic player. And if the Raptors made the trade, I will be here praising it. But
yeah, like if the Raptors were able to trade for James Harden and presumably build around him, not to compete this year, but to like next year and beyond. But mm-hmm. that's just not on the table. It's not happening. James Harden will not sign a contract to remain in Toronto. I would sooner believe that, I don't know, like Vince Carter comes out of retirement and suits up for the red and purple. Like, it's just not happening.
Yeah.
So trading for him is a dumb idea. Because you're not winning in the next two seasons. You don't win in the next two seasons, and then he's not around beyond that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so,
exactly.
That's where I get on and get off. Like, you're not winning the 2021 title, and you're not winning next year because you'd be giving up way too much to get him. And then unless you're confident he's sticking around, which I'm not, what have you done it for?
Yeah. Also, like, are you ever reading LeBron and AD? With James Harden, a 35-year-old Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, and Aaron Baines. You're not doing anything, man. Like, that's where I'm at. So, you know, that's why I'm not.
Is anybody beating the Lakers? That's kind of this kind of feels like 2018 Warriors-y with this Lakers team. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that anyone beats them as long as they don't get injured. Like, the Lakers are like incredible. Yeah. Marcus Hall. Like, he shredded the second unit of the Timberwolves, and I can see him doing that with most second units. With the complement of, like, finishers that they have in that second year. Like, that's with true. KCP, Kuzma, with Schroeder, Kuzma, just like Marc Gasol.
Yeah, Horton Tucker has been pretty good now. Tim Horton Tucker. Yeah.
The Lakers are crazy. Yeah. And it's cool. I kind of like it. Because they're not – it's not like they're rolling the ball out and have a bunch of – it's they have two basketball geniuses running two pretty good teams. Like,
yeah,
LeBron runs the starting unit. Mark runs the second unit. And both of those guys are so good that, you know, they just demolish teams. I'm kind of excited to see it.
Me too. I think the best case version of the Nets could give them some trouble, just because I think perimeter defense is still a little bit weak for the Lakers. But until I see KD effectively get to the rim, which is still something I don't fully see yet. Yeah, we know he can shoot. But the best case scenario for them, I could see it, because Kyrie's looking amazing these days. But, you know. I think the Lakers are still firmly championship favorites. Sonny asks, how would the new look DeMar fit in with the Raptors with his improved playmaking and rebounding?
You guys let that Raptors broadcast really convince you that DeMar is a different player than he was 2 years ago.
He is really, really, really polished. He's more polished offensively now than he was back then. And he was already quite good offensively back
then. But is it a new look? Like, it's
DeMar. No. He's the same dude, man.
Yeah. Look, I appreciate what DeMar did in his 9 years in Toronto. Wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah.
Why on earth do you want him back in the city? I don't get it. But, you know, shout out to him.
I mean, he would improve the team. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know, man. Again, the playoff thing. I'm okay. I mean, he's looking fantastic. I wish him absolutely all the best. I hope he stays with the Spurs. I think it's actually a nice place for him, because the coach is not going to try to change how he plays and try to maximize what he does well. And Pop has done that. It's a perfect marriage. DeMar's an old school player. Pop's an old school coach. Perfect.
Do you like Pop's hair?
Do I like Pop's hair?
He's starting to look like Jerry Garcia. That's pretty cool.
All right, let me see Greg Popovich's hair. To be honest, I didn't really notice his hair, but 2020 hair, Greg Popovich. Yeah, I mean, it's not terrible.
Well, I'm 100% on board with it. It's vibey as hell. I'm on board.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he's mellowing out, that'd be great, because I actually, Pop's like a cool dude. He just seems a little uptight, because he used to be in like the Secret Service or whatever. No, not Secret Service, like CIA or something like that. I don't know, man. He was like military trained or something. Trash Factory asks, other than Pascal, Fred, and OG, do you see anyone else being a lock on the roster this time next year? I would throw Flynn on there. I'm pretty confident he will be there as a first round pick. Aside from that, as an absolute lock, I don't know. I really don't know. Because Kyle's expiring. There's a player option, or there's a team option on Baines. Boucher is unguaranteed for next year. Norm has a player option. Matt Thomas, probably still on the team, but you never know. It's not like he's like, you need to have him on the team. TD is a restricted free agent, and, you know, he hasn't played this season, really, outside of garbage time. And his court case is continuing. Jalen Harris is on a two-way. Paul Watson's on a minimum. You know, like...
Utah
is on a two-way again. So you can't really re-sign your two-way like that unless you get him a real contract. So, you know, any...
What does that mean? Loss, like, do you... If does it matter? Like, the... Yeah, like this upcoming offseason is going to mean big changes to the Raptors. I don't everybody kind of sees that coming. Mm-hmm. They'd set up their entire organization oriented around signing a guy who will not be available, who may maybe demand a trade, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? So, I mean, yeah, I would add Flynn to the list, maybe Matt Thomas, but yeah, that's it. That's the nature of the NBA nowadays. Contracts are very short. And then to end the podcast, two general NBA questions. This first one from Logan, who asks, have you watched any Pacers games? And if so, how was Nate doing as a coach? Can't say I've watched too many Pacers games, but the reviews seem to be that, A, they're shooting threes a lot more. They're modernizing the offense. That was a really easy – well, not easy, but a very obvious area of weakness for the Pacers. They were, like, consistently in the bottom five in terms of a three-point attempts. So they've definitely shot a lot more threes. They play with a little more pace. The ball movement is supposedly better. You know, I think one of the great beneficiaries, aside from Oladipo, is Sabonis is saying. Sabonis has been sensational. I mean, and most of the players have been really good. Like, you know, Brogdon's doing quite well too. But Sabonis in three games, 32 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, 19 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists with the game-winning layup against the Celtics. So Sabonis is doing quite well. Yeah, Nate's doing a good job so far. And I'm happy for Nate, man. This guy deserves it. And who knows? Maybe Nate Bjorkman, coach of the year. Who knows?
There's no way, right? Does he have a path to winning coach of the year?
I mean, like, the issue is the Pacers have
But don't they feel – doesn't it feel like Steve Nash's destiny to get another MVP award that he
– Yo, relax.
Dubious claim to?
relax. That's not true, okay? Who do you get it
at? Shaquille O'Neal. I loved hearing Shaquille and Shaquille O'Neal's inside the NBA, like, waging a war against Steve Nash. You got to love it.
Who's even thinking about the 2007 MVP, man? Like, who cares?
Well, you know – Shaquille O'Neal.
Yo, the Suns were like, they won like 60 games, man. And the Suns were not the Suns until Steve Nash got there. And they took that.
Yeah, I agree. It's just funny. It's just funny to see, you know, Steve Nash has like four Hall of Famers on his coaching staff. It's just out of control.
I can't believe this is the first coaching job Steve Nash had. He's done quite well for himself. This guy hopped straight from doing soccer coverage for Bleacher Report into coaching KD and Kyrie. Like, that's unbelievable, man.
Yeah, and like, you look at Steven Silas and he's getting jerked around. Like, it's just, you know, we don't need to recriminate it, but it's pretty crazy that this guy walked into the best job available. Like, it's,
no, this guy
and probably one of the.
I love Steve, man, but it is kind of funny to me, man. It just is. It's really funny that he was, like, doing commentary for Tottenham Spurs games, and then now he's coaching against the Spurs with KD and Kyrie. Like, that's nuts. That's nuts to me, man, for your first job. But you know what? Honestly, he's done fine so far, so good for Steve. And honestly, Steve's one of my favorite players of all time, so I'm happy for him on multiple levels. All right, last question from Jay Rosales. Pick a Raptor. Make a New Year's resolution.
Pick a Raptor, make a New Year's resolution. Do you have an answer? I got to think about this one.
I'm going to go with Pascal Siakam. And the New Year's resolution is ditch social media. People are not kind to Pascal, man. There's no grace for Pascal, nothing. Like, you would never think hit the game-winning shot in a championship. You don't never think this guy was fantastic for a title. You would not think this guy won a title. You would not think this guy was all NBA. You would not think this guy won most improved player. You know, fantastic story. The 27th pick making his way to the point that he is now. You would never think this guy's honestly been the best player for the team at the moment, because people just like are just shitting on him day after day after day after day. He made a basket against Zion on a slippery floor where he slipped. Bro, it's a slippery floor, all right? He made a clumsy layup against Zion, and he got clowned for it. Like, he got clowned for making a layup.
I disagreed with the reaction, like, the reaction to that reaction. It's let people post their jokes and keep it moving. You don't need to defend vociferously every guy who gets teased on social media, because it'll happen to the guy that you like. It'll happen to the guy you don't like, and you just, you know, keep it pushing. Like, this morning, D'Angelo Russell was getting killed because of a sequence where Marcus Hall was completely ruining, but they were playing a zone, and yeah, he got beat a couple times, but it just, it happens. People are going to, it's, yes, I agree. The resolution should be to get off social media because everyone is crazy about basketball players on social media, except, yeah. I don't know, like people complain about LeBron James constantly. And LeBron James is by far the best player we've seen in my living memory. Like, it's, I agree that, Pascal should,
Yeah, please just, I mean, just, don't fret about it too much. And just honestly, I don't think social media is going to do much good for Pascal. So just stay off the Pascal, stay off the social media for Pascal. That's the New Year's resolution.
That's a good one.
What do you got?
For me, what is going to be my New Year's resolution? This is a very fun question. I'd just like to see Coach Nick Nurse try to help this team find its identity, because right now it seems like they're not the same team as last year. They're certainly not the championship team, and they're not where they're going. I'd like to see Nick Nurse and his post game and the way the Raptors play sort of identify the key themes that they're going to need to focus on. I know that Fred has complained that the team is not communicating well about their defensive identity. So helping explicate what the team wants to be doing, how they're going to get there, so that the team seems to understand where they're going, as well as the fans can understand expectations for what these guys are going to be out there doing. Cause it kind of just kind of seems like they're trying to find their sea legs. So that's the thing that I'm looking forward to most. Do you feel like you already have a good read on where the team's going, what they expect from themselves, who they expect to be? Yeah. So
not really. I think it's, people are all feeling it out, which is normal. I mean, that's what you have.
For sure.
That's what you do at the start of the year. Do you have any personal New Year's resolutions that you would like to share?
That not really. Like, I feel like I ended 2020 on a good streak, both personally and professionally. So seeing, growth in our career, growth in the show, growth in my personal life. But yeah, like I feel like, in the summer, I had like a really difficult time. My grandfather passed away from COVID, and having to get through that was challenging. And it felt like come October, November through December, things started to straighten themselves out. So yeah, just feeling like excited for the new year, despite all of the stuff that will still be the same from 2020, I'm feeling excited about the opportunities that are out in front ahead of me. How about you? Great. I feel like New Year's and your birthday, you always I feel like you always have that opportunity to reflect and look forward. Oh, so do you have any big resolutions for 2021?
So my partner got me a keyboard, which I wanted. So I'm taking the ambitious step of trying to learn how to play keyboard. It's like 20 years in the making, I think. My parents definitely put me in piano classes and I hated it. And instead, I picked flute instead. And I
played flute that was
quite prolifically, I have to add, for like 10 years. And then I ditched the flute, picked up a guitar, and learned how to play I Will Follow You Into the Dark. Probably that was like the best song I knew how to play. And learned like some chords, but that's about it. So, but now I'm actually, honestly a little bit inspired by Nick, the fact that he's always playing his keyboard and stuff like that. And I decided I wanted one. So that's my New Year's resolution, is to learn to play keyboard/piano. We'll see how that goes.
That's pretty good. That's a good one.
Yeah. Normally I don't make New Year's resolutions, but that one is pretty tangible. So
yeah. Yeah, look, you're going to be inside. You can practice and we'll start our own Death Cab for Cutie cover band by the end of the year.
Can't wait, man. I can't wait. Honestly, Death Cab bangs. I don't care what anyone says, man. Death Cab is
They have two really good albums.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are they called?
Transatlantis,
yeah. That's a good record. We have Facts. We have Facts? What is it called? We have The Facts and We're Voting Yes. That's a pretty good record.
Yeah, I don't even know if I heard that one.
Shout out to Death Cab for Cutie, I guess. I remember, now we're in the just pure banter part of the show. I remember right before the call-in show, we were talking about The National so much. Yeah. Did you listen to The National produced Taylor Swift records?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Sorry.
So they produced your last two albums. Actually.
But yeah, I love The National too. That was probably like, if you ask like, who are my favorites? Honestly, just rock musicians, rock bands, things like that. They'd be on it. I mean, there's a lot of good rock bands, I guess, but
not many more than The National. Like, they're pretty.
No, The National's great. Yeah, legitimately great. Death Cab.
Did you see? Death Cab's good. Yeah. Did you see The National play when they played at a Young Dundas Square?
I did.
Like, I was there too.
Yeah, that was great. I was there.
How do you feel about The Shins?
The what?
The Shins with James Mercer. That's like same kind of music.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I did stop listening to this genre.
The Shins
of
that same era. Like the Shins of that era.
I didn't make it to my list. That's too bad. Yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't dive that deep into the genre. I'm not gonna pretend like I was Blake Murphy or anything like that. But you know, shout out Oasis. Shout out early Coldplay. Not everything before that X and Y album.
Isn't that their second record?
Yeah. No, fine. I'll allow X and Y, man. But what's the Viva La Vida? That from that point onward, it was too much.
Yeah, it was pretty trash.
It was absolutely too much. And arguably, it was too much before that. Radiohead. Not a huge Radiohead fan, but there's a lot of Radiohead records I like. And then Red Hot Chili Peppers, which I think honestly, you know, had some good moments. It's one of my favorite bands early on in my life.
They're a great band to like make you want to make music, which is cool. Like I always think that's like a important vector to like celebrate artists, or who are people who you listen to and then want to go pick up an instrument and try to, you know, do something yourself. Like I've really enjoyed Dirty Projectors. They put out 5 EPs this year. Mm-hmm. And in all of them, like I felt inspired to like pick up my guitar or my bass guitar and like figure out how to play the songs. And I don't know, there's so many artists who you listen to and you're unmoved to make art yourself. Mm-hmm. And even though like whatever I make is crappy, but I get enjoyment out of doing it. And it's one thing that I really appreciate about Dave Longstreth and the gang. And the Red Hot Chili Peppers, when I was 13, 14, you know, learning those riffs and those, learning the riffs from their songs were like, I don't know, the reason that I taught myself how to play guitar.
Honestly, that was for our, I feel like that applied to like half our friend group.
Yeah. And that's cool. Like that's like a really important thing to do is to inspire people to go out and do something. Mm. It's like, I don't know, all those people who talk about how Steph Curry transformed this generation of basketball, of people into basketball players and basketball fans.
John Frusciante did that for us.
Yeah, John Frusciante did that for me in the Fender Telecaster I bought when I was 15 or 16 after a summer of work.
There was a weird summer where I think every single person got guitars.
Yeah.
We had like 7 guitars in Beluga Surprise.
Just everybody had their guitar in Matt Giamu's basement and mm-hmm. we're all just making a racket, and it's just nice. I'm glad that I've known you long enough to remember when we jam with Keith Drakeford and
it was definitely an era. So all right. Oh, no, Stanley Suggestions, anything?
Oh, yeah. Stanley Suggestions. I watched Soul on Disney Plus yesterday.
Okay.
Starring Jamie Foxx and Questlove and Angela Bassett. I cried so many times. So I'm going to recommend that watch it yourself, Stanley. It's really heartwarming time of year to, you know, cozy up with a bowl of popcorn on the couch and watch something nice. So my Stanley suggestion this week is Soul out on Disney Plus. How about you, Will?
I have also been watching a lot of TVs and movies and stuff, as you do at this time. To be honest, I've been watching some pretty shitty stuff. I watched The Holodate, which was actually fine. I actually do recommend The Holodate. If you like rom-coms, it's really not bad. What did I watch? There was the one with like Kristen Stewart. and her girlfriend who was trying to keep.
It's like
that was awful. That was
Christmas like, clock. Yeah, I watched the trailer for that.
That was terrible. I thought it'd be good. It was not. You know, even the star-studded cast could not fix a really really broken and bitter.
Did you watch Riddle, like, I don't know, storyline?
I watched like Tiny Pretty Things. It was also kind of trash. The storyline did not make any sense, but whatever.
You watch Jingle Jangle on Netflix?
No, what is that? What is that? That doesn't even sound good, man.
It sounds terrible.
It sounds like
Jingle
Jangle
stars Forrest Whitaker and Keegan-Michael Key. Forrest Whitaker's like a toy maker, and his apprentice Keegan-Michael Key steals all of his toys. Forrest Whitaker's like sad and old and poor, and then he.
Why is he sad in every movie, man? Can't even get Forrest Whitaker. Have you
looked
at
like? Does Forrest Whitaker look like a guy who's gonna like tell lots of jokes?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, right. But it's really good. Like I cried a lot during these movies, I guess. But Jingle Jangle is good. But that was like a very much a Christmas movie, I guess. If you the 28th, if you feel like watching, those. But wait, which one do you suggest?
Industry, I guess. Go watch Industry. It's not bad. It's not like great either, but it's entertaining enough. It's kind of procedural almost. If you like Billions or like, well, not Suits really, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I don't know, man. I have not seen a lot of great stuff recently.
You should watch Tenet. Let me know what you think.
Okay, I will, because there's a, I don't know, man. Send me some recommendations too, because clearly I'm struggling here. Man, what's my sound suggestion? Because I feel like I do value the segment, and I didn't come prepared with something. Honestly, you know what? My sound suggestion is enjoy the winter. I know he's literally in Tampa Bay, so he can't do that. But if he for some reason were in Toronto, you know, go out there, maybe get yourself a toboggan and enjoy going tobogganing. It's a really unique Canadian experience. And I feel like I don't know if Stanley from California has ever tobogganed before or gone tubing. So go tubing, actually. You don't even know you don't even need to know how to ski. Tubing is for when the school trips comes around and everyone, it's like ski day. But most of the immigrant kids did not come from countries where there was a lot of snow to ski, so they didn't know how to ski, so everyone tubed. Go tubing. That's my suggestion. I'm thrilled with that one. Go tubing.
At least water tubing, I guess.
The snow tubing is way better. All right. You go a lot faster. Yep.
I went for a walk the other day and I saw like too many people on a hill. I went to the park because I'm not the police. But man, it was like, do I feel comfortable seeing this many people outside all gathered close by each other? Stanley, if you're able to go find a hill, try to find one that's secluded. Might not be the steepest, but if it's your first time, you can take it slow.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Stanley. Lot of things to do in Tampa Bay. So, Josh, thanks for coming on the podcast as always. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Can't wait for the...
Happy holidays, everybody. Hopefully the Raptors win, you know. Sometime soon.
Yeah.
when do you have the Raptors winning next? I want to give you the Raptors schedule real quick. Raptors play the Sixers on Tuesday.
Tonight?
Tomorrow. And then the Knicks.
Oh, tomorrow.
On New Year's Eve. And then the Pelicans again 2 days after that. Celtics.
And then
on
the Celtics. They got to win a couple games for that Celtics game. I think they'll beat the Knicks. They'll be the Knicks and they'll be the Pelicans because they're coming out. They're playing the Pelicans with the rest as well.
You know what? I'm going to call it. Raptors beat the Sixers, and then we stop fretting. Okay. My reasoning for it is not necessarily great, but yeah, Raptors beat the Sixers. Pascal struggles, but the guards really carry them. And Norm
that can happen because Kyle Lowry is going to go crazy. Kyle Lowry
always against the Sixers, man. And yeah. Yeah. I think they shoot 23s. They make 23s and they beat the Sixers. That's what I'm saying.
That could happen.
Yeah.
That could happen.
I'm hoping.
But then,
I'm praying.
Yeah.
I'm praying it happens, man. Please. I don't want to start 0-3. So. All right,
Josh. The week ahead, you're saying they, okay. I'm going to say they go 2-1. They lose to the Sixers but they beat the Knicks and the Pelicans.
You know, I'm going to give a 3-0 week. I'm just aggressively optimistic. Please.
All right.
Please, Raptors, make that happen, okay? Because people will feel a lot better if that happens. So
I like it.
Josh, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you always. And, yeah, if we don't see you before the new year, Happy New Year.
And indeed.
Yeah.
All right. Happy New Year. Hopefully we're back with the call-in show sooner than later, and I'll see you.
All right. Peace.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.